Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series called Christmas Carols. I'm so glad you're here today as we go to our next Christmas carol, which today is Silent Night, Holy Night. Please take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And also, while you're doing that, inside of your program is a study guide of our message for today. It looks like this. And so if you would go back into your program and find the study guide and plan to use it as I speak today. If you're listening online today, welcome to the message. Thank you for listening. And you can also get the study guide right there at our website. Well, today we're going to be talking about Silent Night, Holy Night. And the goal of this message is that we might tune into Jesus based on this amazing, amazing carol. And so what this series is about, it's about Christmas carols. And I did a survey of our church family, and I discovered the top five Christmas carols. And we've already sung today number 4 and number 5. And so number 5, we opened up the service today with Go Tell It on the Mountain. And that is the 5th favorite carol here at Capital Baptist Church. And then later on in the service, Pastor Bob led us in What Child Is This? And that's favorite carol number 4 here at Capital Baptist Church. Today we're going to look at favorite carol number 1, which is Silent Night, Holy Night. And then tonight in our candlelight service, we're going to be focusing on favorite carol number 2, O Holy Night. And then next Sunday, we're going to conclude the series with favorite carol number 3, which is Joy to the World. So the idea of this series is to realize there's lots of noise that goes on at Christmas. Lots of messages coming out. So go here, go there, buy this, buy that, all that kind of stuff going on. But also a big part of Christmas is the music. And, so much wonderful music gets played during this time of the year, including Christmas carols. I mean, to me, it's staggering that you can walk into a restaurant or you can walk into a mall or whatever, and literally the gospel is being played. I mean, literally the gospel is being played in the form of music, but so many people are not tuned in. So many people are not tuned in. And we're allowing all these noises to drown out the message of Jesus. And so the series, the purpose of the series is for us to tune into Jesus, to know what is being said about Jesus. And so today we want to do that, and we want to experience John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. May we, as his sheep, through these carols, hear his voice. May we know him, and most of all, may we follow Jesus. Let's tune into Jesus as we learn today about Silent Night, Holy Night. Now today we're going to take a little bit different approach. We're going to look at the story of Jesus, not from the perspective of a gospel account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but today we're going to look at it from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. We're going to be going through Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. Now, Philippians is my favorite book of the Bible. But I must confess to you, it's been a long, long time since I've read Philippians. I can't even think about the last time I read it, okay? But the last couple of weeks, I've read through this book a few times, and it's just really enriched my soul. And the book of Philippians is the book of joy. And let me tell you something. Christmas isn't merry for everybody. I can give you names, individuals, about 4 or 5 people that aren't coming to church today. They told me I'm not coming to church on Christmas. It's just too painful. It's just too hard. And, you know, Christmas isn't merry for everybody, you know. A lot of bad stuff. A lot of bad memories. A lot of bad things happen, you know. It's tough. And I would just urge you, if you're struggling right now, you know, one thing you might want to do is read the book of Philippians. I mean, it's the book of joy. And I just want to highlight that this might be something for you to focus on, okay? Maybe you need a lift. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you need some motivation. Well, I'm telling you, Philippians is a good place to go in your Bible. So think about that. Check that out, okay? But we're going to look at Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And this is the story of Jesus told to us by the Apostle Paul. Now, today we're focusing on Silent Night, Holy Night. And if you want to turn there, you can just listen. It's number 219 in this thing called the hymn book, okay? I know most of you don't know much about these things, okay? But there was a time we actually took a book out. And we actually took the book, and we sung the songs with the book, okay? It's called the hymn book, okay? And so and right in front of you, there should be a hymn book. And so we're going to be highlighting 219 today. And so I want to begin by just examining this hymn a little bit, this carol a little bit. And so it is a song, like pretty much all the Christmas carols, that brings us back to the Nativity. And it starts out with Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. So it starts out with this gentle, calming effect, you know, points us to the baby Jesus. And then in verse number 2, it kind of builds up a little bit, you know, kind of more of a celebration type of atmosphere. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Jesus, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. And so it celebrates Jesus and celebrates, it's kind of a song or a verse of worship, right? To worship Jesus. And then in verse 3, it emphasizes who is Jesus. So it goes like, okay, just kind of points us to the Nativity and we see the baby Jesus. And then it kind of brings us into a spirit of worship. And then, and one of the wonderful things about these songs is the theology. These songs are, you know, I appreciate the modern day music, okay? But most of it is very shallow, okay? Most of the modern day music you sing to God. And most of the old school music is about God. And that's why it's good to have both, okay? Our church is about both, you know? And I know some of you, you know, you don't want to hear about the hymns or whatever, but you're messed up, you know? And some of you, you don't want to hear about the modern music, you know? Yeah, I can imagine 1818 when this was sung in that little church in Austria. I can hear the old timers now complaining. Pastor Moore, bringing in the new music here at the church. Shame on you. Shame on you, Pastor Moore. Bringing in a, who in the world ever heard of Silent Night? You're making us sing some new song, you know, whatever. Worship wars, they've been around forever, haven't they? Amen. I don't even know where I'm at in the sermon, to be honest with you right now. Okay, I'm all messed up. But anyway, okay. Hey, folks, let's get a balance, you know. I know God likes at least three styles of music because he says to worship him in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So I don't know. God likes at least three styles. So you might want at least like two. Okay, whatever, okay. Seriously, y'all write them nasty notes in your connection card to me. You know what I do? I throw them away, okay. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with angels let us sing. Alleluia to our King. Okay. I'm supposed to be reading verse 3. Silent night, holy night, Son of God. Okay, I'm emphasizing on theology here. He's the Son of God. He's love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. And here's what I chose to focus on today. See, aren't there so many things I could have focused on? But I chose to focus on Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Because he was Lord at his birth, you know? And then verse 4, Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with angels. Let us sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Now, down at the bottom of the page, you notice two names. Why are there two names there? Because these are the two people that gave us Silent Night, okay? And the words, as our hymn book tells us, were provided by a guy named Joseph Moore. So this is a picture of what Joseph looked like. Okay, got this off his Facebook page. Okay. And so just picture this guy. It's 1818. And like all us pastors, you know, he's probably for weeks, if not months. I'm already thinking about next Christmas. I'm thinking about doing a carols part two. You know why? Because there were actually 10 carols that had lots of votes. So I may bring back carols next Christmas. We'll see. Okay, I'll probably take another survey and see what you think or whatever. Okay, but there were about another 5 carols that had a bunch of votes that I'm not getting to. So I may say I'm a pastor. I'm already thinking about next Christmas. What are we going to do next Christmas? Okay. And so I'm sure for months he's been planning out Christmas, you know, and he's assuming there's going to be the organ, you know. I'd have the organ. That was like the main instrument or whatever, okay? So all these months he's planning out Christmas service, and he's got some songs picked out, and there's going to be the organ to play the songs. And lo and behold, just like every organ, there's organs that are broken down, there's organs that are going to break down, okay? And the organ of all times, the organ breaks down. And they don't have the organ. What does the pastor do? Like any good pastor, he begins to freak out. Okay, he begins to freak out. And he begins to say, I don't have an organ. What am I going to do? And so what he decided to do was he decided to write a poem. And just like we've learned about the carols, almost all the carols started out as a poem. They're poetry. If you look at them closely, you kind of see that. You know, if you get your poetry, remember literature class? How many remember that? Sorry to bring back bad memories. Whatever, okay? You know, and the poetry or whatever, okay? And so you can see this. But he wants the people of his church to sing this. So he goes to the church organist. See the other name down there? Franz Gruber. What a great name. Franz. There's Franz. That's his Facebook picture. Franz Gruber, okay? And he says, Franz, I've got this poem. Franz, would you please write some music so we can sing this? And you know what Franz did? Franz wrote the music. 1818, in a little teeny church in Austria. Well, you say, how in the world did this go from the little teeny church in Austria to being what it is today? Well, I'll mention a third name, okay? Karl Maurer, or M-A-U-R-A-C-H-E-R. I don't know my French very well, so I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right or not, okay? Karl, well, the organ was broken down, right? You got to get the organ fixed, amen? Okay? So they call Karl up and say, Karl, organ fixer-upper, okay? Come and fix our organ. And so Carl shows up. Here's Carl's Facebook picture, okay? Carl shows up, and he went all over the region fixing organs. And so he shows up. I've got a picture somewhere. He shows up, fixes the organ, and while he's there, the pastor tells him, hey, I wrote this song. It's a really cool song called Silent Night, Holy Night. And Carl liked that song so much, you know what he did? He went around and told the churches where he would go and fix their organs. He went and told them that Silent Night. And that song began to spread and began to spread and began to spread. And here we are, December 24th, 2017. And the top Christmas carol at Capital Baptist Church, and no doubt about it, anywhere and everywhere, is Silent Night, Holy Night. All because there was a pastor in a little church in Austria. And he was fussing and fuming, I'm sure upset with God, that God let his organ break down. But God was up to something much bigger, you know. And God's like that with your life. Things might not be going too well right now. Things might not be happening the way you want them to happen. You know what? God's got a bigger plan for those things. And he might be a silent night, holy night going on in your life right now. So quit complaining about your broken down organ. Amen. And let God do his work. Well, that's the story of Silent Night. Wait till you hear about old Holy Night tonight. That was the first song sung on the radio. Did you know that? First song ever sung on the radio was Old Holy Night. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was free now. Now you still got to come tonight, hear the rest of it, whatever, okay? So again, you can see so much rich theology in this song. And lots of things we could have picked out, but I'm choosing to focus on the end of verse 3. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night emphasizes Jesus is Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's no doubt in my mind the main passage that was on Pastor Moore's mind when he wrote this was Luke 2:11. Just jot it down there. I don't have it in the notes. I think this is probably the number one verse he was thinking about. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So that probably was the number one passage, to be frank with you, that shaped Joseph Moore's putting this in this song. But I also believe that there's no doubt in my mind that Philippians 2, particularly 9 through 11, also played a role. It says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things on heaven, things on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so there's really no doubt in my mind that this passage probably also had a great influence on Joseph Moore as he wrote that great carol. Let's go to page 2 and let's talk about Silent Night, Holy Night, Jesus is Lord. And what I want to do is I want to tell the story of Jesus that Paul tells. This is the Apostle Paul telling the story of Jesus. And he begins by talking about that the story of Jesus begins with a crib. It begins with a crib, the crib of Jesus the Lord. In verses 5 through 7, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. And listen, coming in the likeness of men. See, the story of Jesus coming to earth begins with a crib. He was God, very God, yet he was willing to be made in the likeness of men. First of all, we need to understand that Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth. This talks about the fact that Jesus came to earth. Now understand, he was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. So we talked about this last Sunday, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And the Bible says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh. And last Sunday we spent the whole message talking about Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I mean, Jesus came to earth. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I hope to live as long as possible, but I also know that I'm excited about leaving this earth because I know where I'm going. I'm going to a place called heaven. And the Bible says that heaven is a far better place. But what we have to understand is that Jesus was in the far better place. You know, somebody called me up. This kind of calls pastors again. Hey, Steve Reynolds? Yeah. When you hear Christmas, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, the first thing that came to my mind? God left the glory of heaven and came to the gloom of this earth for me. He was in heaven. He was in heaven, folks. The far better place. And he came to this far worse place. God in the flesh. Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. And listen, Jesus became a man. It says he was made in the likeness of men. Coming in the likeness of men. tonight in my kids, on Christmas Eve, I give my one and only children's sermon. So you want to hear me preach to children tonight? Come tonight and laugh because I'm horrible. Okay, whatever. Okay, but I do it anyway. Okay. And I love to talk to the kids, you know. I've got about 50 or 60 kids up here, about four of them would be my grandchildren. And I'm going to tell them about Jesus, you know. And I'm going to tell them how that Jesus came as a baby. Why did Jesus come as a baby? Well, I mean, he could have came in any way he wanted to, right? He came as a baby because he came to save us, not to scare us. See, when he came as a baby, you know. People aren't scared. Well, you might be scared of a baby, but you're not really scared of a baby, right? Okay. Yeah. And he came to save us, not to scare us. So he didn't come as something that would be furious or frightening or whatever. He came in the likeness of men. That means he was born like us. He was born like us. Luke 2:6-7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Don't forget, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Most people don't remember that, okay? Can you imagine being the brother of Jesus? You know, I mean, when he would go to Mary and Joseph and say, you guys think he's just perfect. Well, he was, okay? That'd be a rough thing to live up to, okay? he was the firstborn son. Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and they laid him in a manger. They laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I mean, he was born like us. He was very different in the sense he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but yet he was willing to go into a womb, Mary's womb, and to spend 9 months in there, you know, just developing, you know, and then to come out. You know, this week I'm all excited because my next grandchild's coming this week, you know. And we're all excited. December 28th, you know, unless God changes his mind, makes it earlier. But for sure it's going to happen December 28th. And Jeremiah and Korea are going to have their second child, their second son. And it's so exciting, you know. But the whole idea of birth is so exciting, you know. And just like little Caleb's going to come, you know. Jesus was willing to come just like that, to come through Mary's womb and to come out, you know, that... We won't get into too much detail. Anyway, moving forward here, okay? But you know what? You know the point. You get it, okay? He was born like us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That he would be born like us. He grew like us. Luke 2:52 is a verse that's really shaped me as a person. It's also shaped me as a parent. It talks about balance. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus grew like us, and he grew in a balanced way. And you need to be thinking, now hopefully you have some things you're thinking about for the new year. He increased in wisdom. That means intellectually he grew. He increased in stature. That means he physically grew. He increased in favor with God. I mean, it's hard to believe, but Jesus increased spiritually. I don't know how that's possible, but he did. And then Jesus increased with men. That means socially. So as you're thinking about goals in your life for the new year, you need to include intellectual goals. I mean, what do you want to do to grow your mind? What book, do you have some books you want to read next year? You have some classes you want to take? You have some seminars you want to go to? What do you want to do to expand your mind in the new year, to increase your mind? What about physically? I mean, what do you want to do? You plan to see the doctor? You need to get a physical? When was the last time you got a physical? You want to lose some weight? You want to try to take on some of your health issues and try to deal with those or whatever? I mean, what are you going to do? You going to start exercising? See, Jesus increased physically. Okay. What are you going to do in your spiritual relationship to increase? What's going to be your Bible? Your most important decision for next year is how are you going to study the Word of God? You ought to be able to answer that question. In 2018, this is how I'm going to study my Bible. And hopefully all of us will include the growth guide in that, okay? And what about socially? What are you going to do in relationships next year? What are you going to do to spend time with people? What are you going to do with your family? You're thinking about maybe a family vacation? You got some things going on with your family? Thinking about your friends? Thinking about your enemies? Are there any enemies you need to make your friends again or whatever, okay? This is a great verse for parenting. Parents, you ought to look at this verse. Try to raise balanced kids. Your kids ought to be growing in these four areas, intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. This is a very important verse. And this is how Jesus grew. And then he was tempted like us. This to me is fascinating because Genesis chapter 3 and other parts of the Bible talk about how that Jesus is going to crush Satan's head. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to crush you, baby. Okay. Amen. I'm going to do it one more time. I like it. I'm going to crush you. Okay. But yet he was willing to take that Satan, that peep squeak. How do you say that? Peep squeak. You don't know either. Anyway, you know what I mean. Okay. And let him tempt him. He let him tempt him, knowing he was going to crush him, stomp on him. Okay? Amen? I mean, this is crazy stuff to me, that Jesus would tolerate being tempted. Yet he was. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with your weaknesses. But in all points, he was tempted. In every point, he was tempted. But here's the key thing, without sin. Okay, because he was the perfect Lamb of God. He never sinned one time. But yet he was willing to be tempted. He was willing to tolerate Satan coming. And then number four, he suffered like us. I think one of the most powerful statements of suffering about Jesus is in what's called the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. How's your soul today? Is your soul exceedingly sorrowful? Again, Christmas isn't merry for everybody. Christmas isn't merry for everybody. It can be a really hard time, you know? And maybe you're sorrowful today. Maybe you're even exceedingly sorrowful today. Jesus understands. He understands because he knows what it's like to be sorrowful. You know? He understands. He suffered. He allowed himself to suffer. So look to Jesus. Look to Jesus to help you during this time. The story of Jesus starts out with a crib. It starts out with a crib. God left heaven, came to earth, made in the likeness of men. But Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross. Paul says in verse number 8, and being found in appearance or fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the what? The cross. Wow. See, Jesus, listen. Jesus came to die. His express purpose was to die. And why did he do that? Number one, to demonstrate God's love. See, love, you know, needs to be expressed in a tangible way. You know, it's good to say to God, I love you, but you need to go beyond just your words, right? You need to put it into action. And Jesus put it into action. It says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? Live through him. Isn't that a beautiful verse? In this the love of God was manifested toward us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we could, what? Live through him. I mean, he was willing to give himself for us. And in doing so, he showed his love for us. You might today be saying, does God love me? Yes, he loves you. You know, he loves you so much that he would be willing to die on a cross for your sin. You know, he loves you. He wanted to have a forever relationship with you. He does not want you to be separated from him. He does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven and be with him forever and forever and forever and forever. He loves you that much that he wants to have a forever relationship with you. Number two, he did it to pay for our sins. to pay for my sins, your sins. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Underline this, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. I mean, you got to remember the suffering of Jesus, right? You got to remember the crown of thorns. But it wasn't just a crown of thorns. I mean, the Bible tells us of all the suffering that he went through, particularly at the end. You know how that he was scourged, he was beaten with a whip, and that whip probably had either stone or like glass type things inside of it, and it would just lash the body. It would be like peeling a banana. The scourging was like, it would wrap around a person, they'd pull it, and literally just, you know, most people after the scourging, their organs would be hanging out. Okay. You know, they mocked him. They made fun of him. They spit on him. You know, just imagine. I've been spit on before. Okay, you understand when you're playing football and you're an offensive lineman, lots of stuff goes on down in those piles. You see all those players piled up. Okay, I won't go into graphic detail. Okay, but several times I got spit on. Okay, and I literally had somebody else's spit coming down my face. Okay, all right, so. Only a Capital Baptist church on Christmas Sunday where you get to hear this kind of stuff, okay? Mark it down. Mark it down that you were here, okay? And my pastor told us about being spit on when he played football, okay? But it's a true story, okay? And other things I won't go into detail about, okay? Happened under those piles. So anyway, moving forward here, okay? But ultimately, this is literally hurting my hands right now holding this, okay? I'm sure I'm being very careful. In fact, I don't know why I picked this as an illustration. Hurting that, okay? You know? But they rammed that thorns into his head. Man, when it says he suffered for you, he suffered for you. You understand that? They took a spear and stuck it through his side, you know? He suffered for you. Why? Because he wanted you to go to heaven. He wanted to bring you to God. How foolish it is. Now, put your thinking, you guys are smart. You live here in the Washington area. Most of you are so intelligent. We have so many people with advanced degrees in this area and everything. Just think for a second. So many people think they can get to heaven by good works. Why would Jesus have to do this if you could just take out your trash twice a week and get to heaven, okay? Or try to be a good person. No, you can't get to heaven by your good works. You can only get to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that brings us to God. He's the one that brings us to God. And when he died on that cross, he showed his love for you. And he died to pay for your sins. But Paul doesn't stop there, does he? He talks about the crown. The crown of Jesus. Verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted them, given them a name which is above every name. So he's got that name thing going on. Amen. You know, everybody knows Jesus. I ordered a birthday cake for Jesus at the grocery store. And I was talking to this young lady, okay? And I said, I want on there, happy birthday, Jesus. Can you put that on there? And she said to me, how you spell that? Jesus? J-E-S-U-S. And they said, what's your name? I said, Steve Reynolds. He said, oh, like Ryan Reynolds? Now I don't even know who Ryan Reynolds is. Okay, she don't know who Jesus is. I don't know who Ryan is. I think we got a generational gap or something going on here, okay? I got to look that up. I don't get around very much. I don't know who Ryan Reynolds is, okay? So, if you know, well, anyway, moving forward here. Seriously, I don't know who Ryan Reynolds is, okay? Anybody know? We'll look it up later, whatever, okay? Seriously, I'm having to tell this girl how to spell Jesus, you know? That's his name. Jesus. Jesus. That's his name. Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus. It's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is exalted, it says in verse 9. He's highly exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbles himself will be exalted. So he was willing to come and humble himself, be obedient unto death. And the Father exalted him. Colossians 1:18, look at this verse. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Who's the head of our church? Some of you said that too quick. Anyway, Jesus, amen. Not Steve Reynolds. You know, I plan to be here a long time. I'm going to talk about this in my message a couple of weeks. I'm doing a sermon called I'm 60 and Reflect. I hope to be around a while, okay? But one day I'm going to be gone. And so are you, by the way, okay? But you know what? This church is going to keep going forward. You know why? Because I'm not the head. I'm temporary. You know, all pastors are really temporary when you think about it. Yeah, I've been here 35 years. But I'm really a temporary pastor. There will be another pastor one day, okay? Could be over in Kidstown right now, okay? Who knows? He's the head. He's the head. And he needs to have the preeminence in everything, okay? Now, the church is not the building. The church is the people. When he talks about him having the preeminence, it's not talking about this building. It's talking about the body. Who's the body? You're the body. I'm the body. Is he preeminent in your life? Is he first in your life? He is to be preeminent in all things in your life. And then on the back, Jesus is Lord. Lord means king. It's the Greek word kurios. And part of the reason Jesus was so controversial and part of the reason they crucified him was they would call Caesar kurios, king. And now Jesus is saying, I'm Lord, I'm king. That's why they came against him. That's why the Roman government, you know, came after him, because he was exalted himself as a king. And that kind of like he was leading a revolt against Caesar. So here's the deal. Everyone will call Jesus Lord. That's a fact. The question is when. You can do it now and enjoy it in heaven forever, or you can do it later and regret it in hell forever. But you will call Jesus Lord. You will call Jesus Lord. It's the only question of when. So here's the deal. Is he your Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say, he says. You say, oh, he's my Lord. Well, he's saying to you, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Humble yourself. Establish Jesus as the king of your life by doing two things. Number one, salvation. Experience his love. So he showed his love. Now you need to accept his love. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be what? Saved. Secondly, surrender. Surrender to him. Experience his joy. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be what? Full. So there's two responses to the king. The first response is salvation. To realize that he came, he left heaven. He came to this earth. He was made in the likeness of men. And he came to die on a cross to show his love for you and to pay for your sin. That's what he did. Okay. And so you need to realize that it's time for you to accept Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for salvation. Thank you that you have given your life for us. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, today I firmly believe there are people here that have never accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And I want to give you that opportunity today to ask Jesus to come into your life. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved.